With me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 is where we're at. Thank you for that special music this morning, ladies. We're right here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Now, I'm sure that somebody came here this morning saying, please hurt me. Love to be hurt. Please strip away all my motivation for serving the Lord. Discourage me. Defeat me. Beat me up. Anybody like that this morning? I mean, that's what you came for. I saw one thumbs up. That's it. No one else? I mean, just beat me up, preacher. That's what I'm here for. Okay. Well, good. I'm not here to do that. I don't know that anybody's ever been that way. Maybe they have, but you know, you may be coming through the doors this morning and you feel beat up and you've had your motivation stripped away and you have been hurt and discouraged and in a desperate plea saying, please help me. Please pray for me. Please, I'm longing for someone to sing something, to say something, to pray something that would restore my hope. Now that might be you this morning. I would like to tell you that there is some secret thing that you can do to get rid of all of that discouragement. Something that's never been said before, something that's never been discovered before, some secret that we would keep to ourselves and only a select few might be let in on that. Well, the fact of the matter is this, there isn't a secret, but we do have a revelation. Amen. A revelation from the Word of God that gives a great and wonderful and marvelous hope. And I want you to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 12 this morning, notice the words of Paul as he says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. So here is what Paul is saying just in this one verse. He says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart, their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Go into chapter 4. For he continues this by saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live and always are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound unto the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Two more verses. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to notice in verse number 1 of chapter 4, and again in verse number 16, the Apostle Paul pens these words as he says in verse 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And again in verse number 16, he says, for which cause we faint not. I want to preach a message this morning entitled very simply from this phrase in the Word of God, we faint not. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and ask your blessing upon the reading of your Word. God, I pray that you would remove any distractions from my mind, from the minds of the hearers, God, that we might be able to focus only upon you, your word, and your Son, Jesus Christ. God, that we might just bring ourselves into your Spirit's presence of worship this morning. God, that we might bow our hearts and bow our faces before you, knowing exactly who we are. But Father, more than that, that we might know exactly who you are, the only one truly worthy of our worship. And Father, I pray today that we would focus upon that, God, that we might not faint, that we may not be weary in due season, that we might reap when we faint not. And God, may you keep us upon the straight and narrow. May you keep us upon that path. God, may you keep us within the right place, that we should be serving you always and not fainting along the way. Help us this day. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. And amen. While no one came here this morning looking to be discouraged, again I say, you might have come in discouraged, you might have come in defeated, but I want to tell you this morning that there is hope. There is a hope here, and as I look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I see as Paul begins by saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, there's an old saying when it comes to reading in the Bible. Whenever you see the word therefore, you need to go back and see what it's therefore. Very good. You know that. That's why we started in chapter 3. Now, I just want to go, just by way of introduction, into chapter 3 and see why Paul is saying what hope we have, that we are to faint not. We are to faint not because we have hope. And so by way of introduction, I want to just go back and see this. And notice in verse number 12, he says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. He says, therefore, we faint not. Why are we fainting not? Why do we not need to faint? Well, because we have a hope. We have a hope that is greater than anything that might discourage us. We have a hope in anything that is greater than all of these things. He goes in to give an illustration about Moses. Moses had asked God, he said, God, I want to see your face. I want to see you face to face. God told Moses, he said, well, no man has ever seen me face to face, but I'll tell you this, when I walk by, I'll let you see me from the back, and you can see it. And the Bible describes this picture of God walking away from Moses, and Moses being able to see the backside of God. And in that, the glory of God was so bright and shined so greatly that it gave Moses, pretty much from what we would gather, a sunburn or a suntan, that Moses' face was so different that he thought it would scare the people of Israel so much that he put a veil over his face to cover the glory of God that shined upon his face. Now look what Paul says about this. It says in verse number 14, as Israel could not steadfastly look to the end which of that which is abolished, he said in verse 14, he said, but their minds were blinded. Interesting, no? Their minds were blinded by what Moses had done. It said, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is a veil is done away in Christ. Oh my, Jesus came, and when he came, he fulfilled the law. Let's not forget that. Notice the Bible says he didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. To fulfill it by loving God and loving his neighbor as himself and giving his own life and placing it upon the cross of Calvary. He did away with and fulfilled the requirements of the law. Notice it says, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord. Just as Moses did, when Moses turned to the Lord to look upon him, he says, but when they look to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. He says, now the Lord is that Spirit, that Spirit, that Spirit. He says, now when the Lord is that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's a wonderful liberty where God is. Notice in verse 18, he says, but we all, with an open face, no veil between. And when we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what he's saying here? I mean, when you look into a mirror, what do you see? Yourself. I hesitate to ask this question. Hence, someone lies. Has anyone ever looked into the mirror and seen someone other than yourself? I knew it. I knew you were going to raise your hand. I just knew it. I knew if anybody's going to raise their hand, it'd be you. I don't know why you. I just knew it. Look into the mirror. And there's something looking back at you. How many of you would be frightened if you went home this morning or this afternoon? Probably won't get there before this afternoon. Go to the restroom, wash your hands, look up, and someone else is looking at you in the mirror. How many of you are frightened by that? I would definitely be frightened by that. I mean, I do not think in my mind, Randall, I do not think I would say, hey, how are you doing? Because when I look in the mirror, I expect to see me. Now, I will tell you, sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'm gravely disappointed. A few Wednesdays ago, I kept going to the restroom, washing my hands, and looking in the mirror, and I kept, Chad, I noticed something in my nose. Seriously. But Don, I noticed something in my nose, and I'd blow my nose. Go back, still there. Looking right at me. Blow my nose again. It wouldn't budge. I did further maintenance. It wouldn't budge. Probably the fifth, maybe the sixth time that I went in. Not in. looked in the mirror. Not. This is going down a path I did not expect. The fifth or sixth time I noticed in the mirror, this thing in my nose was not going away. At a closer examination, I figured it out, Philip. It was a gray hair. I removed it. Tears swelled up in my eyes. A gray hair. I was not expecting that to be looking back at me, but it did. It happened again. Now I know, Edward, it's just a gray hair. Pull it and it's good. But it's quite a thing when you see something in a mirror that you're not supposed to see or you're not expecting to see, and it's a totally different thing to look in the mirror and you see something totally different than even yourself. I don't look like that. And what the Bible is telling us here, that in verse number 18, he says, but we all, with open face, no veil, nothing between, he said, beholding as in a glass, the mirror, he said, the glory of the Lord. Why? Because we're changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says, the hope that we have is in the Spirit of the Lord. The hope that we have is that we have been changed into His image. Into His image. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, the mercy of God is what allows us by grace through faith to even be saved. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That idea of the word faint is one that is losing courage, if you will. It is that one that is dejected, that is depressed, that is disrupted and dispirited. It is to lose courage or to lose spirit. Oh my. Now when we think of faint, we think of that idea of, you know, somebody being so weak in the flesh that they would pass out and that they might faint and lose consciousness. But this is in a spiritual context here that we faint not. Can I tell you, while physically you might faint and fall out and become weak and in all of the flesh, you can do it in the spirit as well. It can happen in the spirit. We can become dejected. We can become depressed and dispirited, and we can lose all sense of hope, and we can lose our spirit in a way that I just can't go on. And it's usually those outside circumstances and those outside things that cause us to do that. But when Paul is giving this here, I want you to notice, number one, that Paul is giving a fascinating report. He's saying, therefore, because of this hope that we have, because of the image that we have in Jesus Christ, he says, we faint not. He says, we don't have to worry about all of this. Notice he says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He says, you know, and this is what's interesting to me, that when he goes through this, notice what he says, that we have renounced, notice, the hidden things. The law of God, when we read through it, shows us who we are. It reveals to us that we are, at our very best, sinners. That's who we are. And he says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. commending to ourselves every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is a fascinating report. As he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Can I tell you one of the biggest lies of the devil is to tell you that you're not a sinner? Is to tell you that you're already okay? Because if he can get you there, then guess what? You have no need of a Savior. If I'm okay in my flesh and I'm already all right, I don't need to be saved. I have no need of a Savior. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not okay. And I don't want to be blinded by the devil in such a way that I might believe for a moment that I'm okay. Notice, as he says this, he says that he believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, there's a light that's shining in the darkness. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves to your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, may I just remind you very quickly, this thing is not of us. One of the reasons we don't have to worry about fainting, and one of the reasons we don't need to faint, is because we must come to that place that we understand it's not about us. We don't even have to do this in our own power. But I will tell you, if you try to do this in your own power, guess what you're going to do? You're going to faint. You're going to become weary. You're going to become discouraged. You're going to become you're going to lose that courage or spirit. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Look at this fascinating report that he gives here. He says, we are troubled on every side. That might be you this morning. He says, we are perplexed. Well, I mean, we sit around wondering, why is this happening? I think that's the biggest question most people ask. Something goes wrong. Something happens that's not in their plan. Something happens that's not in their wheelhouse of what they can expect and all of these things. And they say, why? Why did that happen? Why? And they get perplexed about this thing. Persecuted. Man, all of these things. Just feel like I've been beat up. But Paul gives a fascinating report here. I mean, it's truly fascinating. Because while he says all of the things that I just said, I purposely left what Paul set out. Because while he said, I am troubled on every side, he says, yet not distressed. He says, while we're perplexed, he says, we're not in despair. He says, while we may be persecuted, we're not forsaken. While we may be cast down, we're not destroyed. I'm telling you right now, that's a fascinating report. Paul says, for the which cause we faint not. What an amazing statement here. He's telling us, regardless of what comes our way, regardless of what makes its way into our life, into our heart, don't give up. There's hope. There is hope in the Lord. It's so easy to lose heart. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to say, I'm done. So easy. But he says we don't have to. We don't have to lay our burdens down and just quit. Paul gives a fascinating report, and as I look at this report, I must say that most of us probably have a familiar reflection, number two. Well, yes, it's a fascinating report for him to be able to say we have all of these things going on, but we're not distressed and we're not in despair and we're not forsaken and we're not destroyed. While that's a fascinating report, I wonder if we can have a familiar reflection that we might say the same thing. When we consider what is taking place here, we can identify with these things. When you get into verse number 16, notice he says, "For which cause we faint not." But I'm going to tell you, while we have this familiar reflection, while we don't have to faint, we do have a couple of things that are fighting against us. He says in verse number 16, "For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." Can I tell you the reason why we often faint? The reason why we often find ourselves in these places is because of the fallen nature of man. Yeah. Well, look what he says. He says, "For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." We see the destruction of the outer man, that fallen nature. That's natural. You know, the world is there. It's under that curse of sin and pain and suffering, corruption, even death. It's there. Man, it can defeat us. It most certainly can and certainly will in most times. But notice that word, though. He says, "We faint not, but though." You might could say it like this, "even though." But though. But though our outward man. Yes, you might have a natural man, but can I fill you in on something? You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be a statistic. You don't have to be one of those people who used to walk with God. You can still walk with God. You don't have to be one of those people who used to be faithful or used to go to church or used to read their Bible. You can be someone that is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You can be there. You can be one of those people that faint not, even though, yes, you have an old man. But let me fill you in on something. While we may have a familiar reflection, let me tell you, there is a fantastic revelation. And Paul is saying that we don't have to faint. As a matter of fact, he says, "We faint not." What we need to come to the place is to know that, yes, I want to reach people where they are. Even though the outward man perisheth, even though the outward man is there, notice he gives this fantastic, fantastic revelation. Notice he says, "But though your outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Hallelujah. Every day is a new day with God, and He renews us day after day after day. So while I say there is no secret to not fainting, there's only a revelation, and it is that God is renewing you day after day after day. That's a glorious thing. That's a fantastic thing. It's not even a secret. It's not hidden. All you got to do is read your Bible. I want to come to the place where I don't lose heart. I want to come to the place where I don't get discouraged. Come and get renewed. Day by day. We must take note here that if we're not going to faint, what is it we're going to have to do? We have to recognize, number one, that we have been given a fresh strength for every day. Yeah, the outward man's perishing. Can I just fill you in on something? The outward man is going to die and be left behind. But the outward man is not you. There's an inward man that, if you know Christ as your Savior, has been quickened, has been made alive, has been brought to a new birth in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a new birth that's taking place. Notice verse number 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Every day the inner man, the new man, is given strength to face the trials of that day. That is why we don't faint. That is why we don't have to quit. We faint because our attention is on everything else but God. We faint because we allow the old man to come in and that natural man to come in, and we don't allow the new man to be renewed, and we focus solely upon the circumstance and we focus solely upon what's going on within that outer man. But we need to be able to have the right perspective and maintain that proper perspective and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we're going to define faith, as we've been looking on Sunday nights through the book of Hebrews, I encourage you to be here tonight as we look at Noah and we see the faith that Noah had in building the ark, and we see the faith of Abraham, and we see the faith of David, and we see the faith of Moses, and we see the faith of all the Old Testament saints that were, can I tell you, they were saved by faith. Amen. Through grace. Only by the grace of God. But as we look back through that and we see how they did not faint, and we see through all of those things, it was by faith. By faith. Notice. He says, "It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." See, he's talking about faith here. If faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the key word there, not seen, how do we demonstrate our faith? How do we demonstrate it? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, I think we find the perfect demonstration of faith, as the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, He began it and He'll end it. Our faith must begin with God and it will end with God. And as we look to Jesus, as we look to His face, as we look to His word, we can faint not. We don't have to faint. We don't have to. Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing as him who is invisible. It was Abraham that by faith, when he was called out to go into a place, that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Think of Stephen. As the stones were being hurled at him, persecution for his teaching and preaching about Jesus. The Bible says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God." Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Lay this not at their charge. Say that about people who persecute you? No, our general thing is, God get them. Like God's our attack dog or something. Sick them, God. That's what we do. We may not say those exact words and we may not have that exact thing, but that's what we do. And or we'll say, let me get them. Or sometimes we don't consult God and we just go try to get Him. We end up time and time again fainting along the way because we failed to look unto Jesus. Are you fainting today? Are you feeling faint? Are you feeling discouraged? Are you feeling this way? It's been revealed to us. us. We just have to see His glory. Yes, things are going to happen. We don't have to lose heart. Because this revelation of God tells us that the inner man, the inward man, is renewed day by day. Yes, we're weak. In the earthen vessels that we have, in the natural man, certainly there's weakness. Certainly there's troubles all around us. But God reminds us that when we look to Him, we faint not. Look to Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.